Okay, so today we are looking at three major events in American history. The moon landing, the assassination of JFK, and 9/11. Now, as you may know, the official story is something that a lot of people do not accept. Okay, so we are going to look at the official story, and then we'll see some of the issues with the official story. So first, I want to show you some videos. First, we're going to watch the moon landing. So in 1969, July 20th, they shoot three men into space: Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong becomes the first man in the world to walk on the moon. Okay, and this is his journey. All right, so let's watch it together. What you will see is that it takes a lot of thrust to get the man into space. This is considered the greatest achievement in human history. It took years and years of hard work involving 400,000 people all working for NASA to accomplish this perfect landing on the moon.
We're breathing again. Thanks a lot. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only.
What is amazing is that this is being broadcast live from the moon back to NASA. So their technology back then is far superior to our technology today. I know this looks fake, but it's not, okay? This is official NASA footage, live from the moon. And this is the best part, okay? The best part is when they return from the moon back to Earth. You see how easy it is? It's just like they just fly up. No resistance at all, okay? Perfect. Humanity's greatest achievement. Now, what's amazing is that while they were on the moon, President Nixon and the astronauts had a phone conversation. Okay?
Yeah, I think something rather important is coming up here.
Neil and Buzz.
This is being broadcast live to American people. Okay?
I would like to say a few words to you, over.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval of the Mountains. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made from the White House. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you have done. For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure that they too join with Americans in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world.
Okay. The heavens have become part of man's world, right? Remember how last class we talked about how they wanted to bring the heavens down to Earth. Okay, this is the idea of inversion. Okay? But do you see how amazing it is that they were able to have this seamless phone conversation? Okay? Okay. Now, they go to the moon, and you would think that they would come back, and they're heroes, right? Imagine if the school took you all on a trip to Mount Everest. You spend 6 months climbing the world's tallest mountain. You come back, and you feel amazing, right? You feel on top of the world. You're ecstatic. You want the whole world to know about it. Well, they should be feeling the same thing, right? Okay, here's a press conference after the... Sorry.
I have two brief questions I'd like to ask, if I may. When you were carrying out that incredible moonwalk, did you find that the surface was equally firm anywhere, or were there harder and softer spots that you could detect? And secondly, when you looked up at the sky, could you actually see the stars and the solar corona in spite of the glare?
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the solar corona what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing any.
I don't remember seeing any stars. He doesn't remember anything, okay? Did you see how nervous they are? It's very strange. All right? And that's why, even today, there are a lot of people who do not believe the moon landing happened. Okay, so we'll go over the theories as to why later on. But now let's switch focus and let's look at 9/11. All right, so this is the buildings coming down on 9/11. Watch how they come down. It's very strange.
The North Tower came crashing down.
So this is strange because a plane hit that building, right? Now it's on fire. It's very strange that the building could come straight down like that. It's almost like a demolition. I'm not saying it's a demolition, but it looks kind of strange. Okay. What's even stranger is that there were two planes that hit the Twin Towers that day, but there were three buildings which came down. The North Tower, the South Tower, and Building number 7, which was across the street. Nothing hit that thing. It came down, okay? So let's watch the video. It's on fire, okay? But whoa, it's kind of strange. Comes straight down. Nothing hit that, nothing, a plane did not hit this thing, okay? And then, of course, there's another video that's kind of strange, which is the President of the United States, George W. Bush, during the attacks. He's President of the United States, he's sitting in a classroom watching a teacher teach. That's kind of strange, guys. He's kind of busy, right? He's spending the entire morning while the attacks are happening, just watching the class being taught. His positioning is weird because if you are a president, you should be behind. This is his assistant telling him there's an attack. Why is he being rushed out of that room and being put in a safe place, right? Okay? He's just sitting there. America's being attacked and he's just sitting around with kids.
Thank you all.
Okay, so a reporter is asking him, Mr. President, do you know that America is being attacked right now? And he's like, we'll talk about it later. He's not worried. At this point, no one knows who's attacking America. No one knows how large the attack is. As President of the United States, he should be rushed immediately to a safe location. And he's not worried. He's like, we'll talk about it later. Very, very strange. Okay? And that's why, even today, people are suspicious about what happened. Okay, guys. So, having seen the videos, let's go over what happened, okay? Okay. So, let's talk about the JFK assassination. On November 22nd, 1963, JFK was assassinated. And Lyndon B. Johnson, new president, he organizes a commission called the Warren Commission to investigate what happened. And they produce this huge, huge report, thousands of pages. And the report says that only one person was involved, Lee Harvey Oswald. And he was able to kill the President of the United States because of his communist sympathies. And that's it. Okay? There are certain problems, though. Okay? So this is the President of the United States, and he's in Dallas touring Dallas. I want to point something strange about this picture, okay? You see how in the front, JFK is in the front, but all the security is behind him. That makes no sense. What's the point of security if the security is all behind him, right? Because if someone rushes and attacks him, they're too far behind, right? Also, you see how the bodyguards and the police officers are to the side? Well, that's to prevent snipers, right? So my question then is, why is this car behind structured in a way to protect the people inside, but the car carrying JFK, it doesn't have any bodyguards? That's kind of strange. All right? This is the location, the map of the motorcade. So JFK, he's streaming down, and then when he gets into the spot, Lee Harvey Oswald is able to take three shots at him and kill him at the spot. So Lee Harvey Oswald takes three shots and kills JFK. But as you can see, the problem with location is there are actually lots of places where you can take a shot at the president because he's in an open car with no security. And there were a lot of witnesses who believe that there were other shooters as well, at least one more shooter. And they heard the shot from other places. Many of these witnesses, almost 30 of them, were all killed or died. They died mysteriously soon afterwards. That's very strange. This is the menorah, okay, which is a holy candle in the Judaic tradition. You see how the shape is very similar to this plaza called Dealey Plaza? What's also interesting about Dealey Plaza is it was the site of the first Freemason large temple in Texas. Okay, so there are these religious significance to this place. It was almost like they picked this place for a ritual sacrifice. Okay, so we'll talk about the Freemasons later on because they're very important. The Freemasons are the ones who some say control America. Okay. Lee Harvey Oswald fired three bullets. And there's one bullet which hit JFK. But it's called a magic bullet because it was also able to ricochet off JFK and hit Governor Connally, who was also sitting in the car as well. Okay? So they insisted that there was only one shooter. He fired three shots, and one bullet was able to injure everyone because the bullet was a magic bullet. That was in the official Warren Commission. Okay? So Lee Harvey Oswald, he's been arrested and he's been charged with killing the president. This is Lee Harvey Oswald, when he's going to court, he is ambushed by a man named Jack Ruby. You see how close Jack Ruby gets and shoots Lee Harvey Oswald point blank. Okay? Now, this is a strange picture because, first of all, how did Jack Ruby get so close? There was no security. Second of all, you see how Lee Harvey Oswald, he's being held in place by two police officers who are much bigger than him, right? So it's very hard for Oswald to dodge the bullet, okay? That's number two. Number three is, you see his reaction. He is a trained police officer, and he looks scared. He looks confused. If you are a police officer and someone comes at you menacingly, right, you know to push him away or draw out your gun. But you see how he just freezes. That goes against his training. That's very strange. Okay? I'm not saying that this is a conspiracy, but I'm just saying how this doesn't really add up. There are lots of questions that are raised by this. Also, JFK has a brother, Robert F. Kennedy. And in 1968, Robert F. Kennedy runs for president, and it seems as though he's about to win the Democratic nomination. And then he gets killed too. And again, the question is, how did this happen? And it's a mystery how this man, named Sirhan Sirhan, and he does not look like a killer, okay? Lee Harvey Oswald does not look like a killer. He does not look like a killer either, okay? But they charge him with a crime, and he's still in prison. And even today, he's saying, I didn't do it. Okay? All right. So now let's look at 9/11. And as you can see from some of the video footage, it's very suspicious what happened. There's other things that are suspicious about what happened. First of all, a month after the Twin Towers came down, all that concrete and steel was shipped to China. Yes. The Twin Towers, the debris is now in China, being put in other skyscrapers. Who knows, okay? But that's kind of strange because you would obviously want to run an investigation before you ship that thing off. But they did not do the investigation. They shipped that debris to China right away. That's the first thing. Second thing is that never in the history of humanity has a fire brought down a skyscraper. Never before and never afterwards. Investigators explain that what happened was that the jet hit the skyscraper, and then because of the explosion, because of the gas, the steel frame started to melt, okay? And then when the top melt, it started to melt the bottom one, and the bottom one, and the bottom one, and this is what we call the pancake theory. Never in human history has this happened before, except with the three buildings on 9/11. Okay, and the third, yeah, and then two planes brought down three buildings. The last thing is that the plane, the explosion was so intense that no bodies were recovered, no luggage was recovered, but we found their passports. Okay? We found their passports. These are the 19 hijackers who the government decided was solely responsible for the attacks. They had no help. They had no government help. They just acted by themselves, and they got really lucky. Okay, the luckiest people on the planet. As you can see, this is their passport that was found on a plane wreckage. Didn't find any bodies, didn't find any luggage, but we found the passport. So we know for sure that it was the terrorists and no one else. This is a boarding pass. This is the boarding pass. Okay? Found in the debris of the Twin Towers. Pretty lucky. But this is conclusive proof that the terrorists were responsible and no one else. Okay, so more strange things about 9/11. First of all, we have a document dated to 1962, a document called Operation Northwoods. And the plan is for the government to hijack civilian aircraft, planes, and then blame it on Cuba so that the United States can declare war on Cuba. Also, 6 months before 9/11, Fox, a television station in the United States, they aired a television show called The Lone Gunman, okay? And the plot is this. The government pretends to be terrorists who hijack a plane and crash it into the World Trade Center. so they can blame it on terrorists, so they can start all these wars in the Middle East. What's amazing about the show is that the plane is not being controlled by terrorists. It's being remote controlled by government operatives. So it sounds almost like exactly like what happened on 9/11. 6 months before 9/11 happened. That's very strange. Okay? It gets stranger. This man is named Larry Silverstein, and he is both the dumbest and the luckiest businessman in the world. He's the stupidest businessman in the world because 6 weeks before 9/11, he buys the lease to the World Trade Center. Okay? Why is that stupid? Because the World Trade Center has asbestos, like a dangerous chemical. So they had to clean or remove the asbestos. The problem is the cost of removing all that asbestos would have been more than the value of the Twin Towers. That's kind of stupid, okay? Why would you lease the Twin Towers knowing that you have to put all this money into renovation, which would bankrupt you? Also, what's stupid is to have the lease, you're required to have insurance, okay? And so the insurance company says, we value the World Trade Center at $1.5 billion, okay? And Larry Silverstein says, no, it's not $1.5 billion. They are worth $3.5 billion. So he is asking to pay more insurance than he needed to. That's kind of stupid. But again, he's the luckiest man in the world because none of it happens. And guess what? He can now claim that two towers were struck, and therefore he should get twice as much as $3.55 million. He should get $7 billion. And he sued, they went to court, and he got $4.55 billion. Okay? He's also lucky because he's a workaholic, he never misses work. But that day, because of a dermatology appointment, he had to miss work. He wasn't there when 9/11 happened. The luckiest man in the world. Okay? So this teaches us that in life, do not be smart, just be lucky, okay? That's all you need. All right, now, I know all this sounds suspicious, but there are lots of reasons why we should just believe the government, okay? Why we should believe the United States government is telling us the truth, that 9/11 was done just by 15 terrorists. Operating alone, running help. That JFK was killed by one lone gunman named Lee Harvey Oswald. That the moon landing was actually real. Okay? So let's go over the reasons why we should never ever believe conspiracy theories. Okay? The first reason, of course, is the government would never lie to us. Okay? That's the first reason. It's probably the best reason. Second reason is, well, the government is too stupid to do anything like this, okay? They're incompetent. Okay? The third reason is, why is there so much evidence that there's a conspiracy theory, right? If the government is so powerful, if they're capable of like doing these conspiracies, surely they can cover it up as well. Why is it on 9/11 we have all this footage? Why is it that we have the passports? Why is it that we have like this TV show? Why is there so much evidence? That makes no sense, right? So the fact that there's so much evidence suggests to us that the government is not involved, okay? Because the government is so powerful that it can just cover everything up, right? The other thing is NASA has 400,000 people working on the space program, right? Why hasn't anyone come forward and confessed? Why hasn't anyone told the truth? That's kind of strange. So the fact that so many people were involved, but no one has come out and told us what happened, means that the government was telling the truth, okay? Does that make sense? It's very hard to keep 400,000 people quiet. Okay? Someone might have told a friend or a family member, or just might have gotten drunk and then, you know, done a YouTube video. Who knows, okay? But it's very hard to keep 400,000 people under wraps. JFK, why not they kill him in public? Why not just make it a private thing, you know? Just give him some poison, he dies, no one knows. Why make it into a spectacle? Okay, so another reason to doubt conspiracy theory. Okay, and the last thing is, if the government was really involved, they would not allow us to discuss this, right? They wouldn't allow me to find this video online. They could just cover it all up, right? All these videos I've shown you are online. So this tells us the government doesn't have anything to fear, right? Okay? So we're in a strange situation where we can either believe the government is telling us the truth, but then we have all this evidence to suggest that they're not telling us the truth. Or we can believe that they did this, but what we also have to believe is that they did this, and they want us to know that they did this, and they want us to talk about these conspiracy theories. Okay? That's kind of strange. Well, it turns out we have an explanation for this. It's called revelation of method. The idea is that those who engage in evil must tell you that they are engaging in evil. The theory is that those who do conspiracies must tell you they're doing conspiracies. And there are three reasons why, okay? So let's go over them. The first reason is the idea of learn helplessness. And so the idea is, okay, let's just say that everyone knows that they did this, right? We get angry. We write emails. We make YouTube videos. Then what? Nothing, right? So the idea of learned helplessness is, like, the more angry you get, the more helpless you feel, and therefore the more obedient you become. Okay? That's the first reason. Second reason is the idea of karmic responsibility. And the idea is that the people in power are extremely superstitious. They believe that when they die, God will judge them. Okay? So we're all dead, and God says to the government, hey, why did you do all this evil stuff? And the government says, no, I did not act alone. Everyone participated. Why? Because I told them what I was doing. They didn't stop me. They didn't raise any concerns. They didn't protest. Therefore, they are complicit. Okay? So another way of saying this is, if you just look at 9/11, if you just look at the moon landing, if you just look at JFK, the evidence is so overwhelming that if you still believe the government, it's not because you are ignorant or stupid, it's because you are complicit. It's because you are involved. Therefore, you share the guilt. Therefore, the karma is spread to everyone. Okay, that's the logic, right? And the third reason is attention capture. These events are set up in a way so that they will be remembered forever, okay? So everyone remembers where they were, what they were doing, who they were with on 9/11. When JFK was assassinated, during the moon landing, okay? So you probably were not in the United States, you might have been in China, you might have been Tunisia, you might have been in South Africa, it doesn't matter, okay? You could have been on the moon, okay? But you still remember what you were doing on 9/11 because it's etched into your consciousness. And that's the point. The point is to control people by controlling how people perceive reality. Okay? Because then you have the power of God. Okay, so these are the three major reasons why they will do this evil, but they will tell you they did this evil, and they want you to discuss and continue to discuss why they do this evil, okay? So even today, people are still writing books about JFK. People are still writing books about the moon landing. It's allowed because it's attention capture, okay? It's like the idea of top of mind. So if you're a company, you don't care about bad publicity. All publicity is good because it's top of mind, right? So if you are hungry and you want to go out for lunch, what's the first thing that you want to eat? It's the first thing that comes to mind. Right? So maybe pizza or hamburger. Okay? That's the idea of branding. So that's what they're doing here. They're trying to control your reality through these events. Okay? Does that make sense, guys? Okay, any questions? All right. Now what I want to do is look at a question, okay? Let's look at certain questions. Why is this happening? All right, so let's look at JFK and 9/11 and the moon landing. What are common characteristics about these three events? Okay. The first thing, of course, is that they are spectacles. You can say that they are rituals. A lot of care, a lot of attention was put into preparing these rituals. So for example, the JFK assassination, look at the location, right? Look at the choreography. Okay? They did it purposely in front of people, but also in front of cameras, so that it'll be remembered forever. Okay, the moon landing as well, 9/11 as well. Okay. That's the first thing. Second thing is the idea of numerology. So when you look at these events, what you'll find is that numerology is very important. Okay, it's a very simple concept to understand. So for example, let's just say you want to get married, right? Well, you want to pick an auspicious date. So maybe August 8th, 8/8, right? Or June 6th, an auspicious date. Because that will give your wedding the most chances to prosper. You also want to pick a nice location for feng shui. Right? Same thing with this idea. Okay? So let's look at the numerology. JFK was November 22nd, 1963. 11/22/1963. The moon landing was 1969. And then 9/11 was, of course, 9/11. Pretty easy to remember, right? Okay. Now, what's interesting is that these are all triangular numbers. Okay. What are triangular numbers? 1, 3, 6, 9. Right? 1, 3, 6, 9. 1963. 1969. Okay. Also, the number 33 is very, very important. Okay. Number 33 is almost like a magic number to these people, okay? And so like, what we believe is that it's secret societies that are responsible for these events, okay? Mainly the three Masons, but there are others as well, okay? I'll discuss this later. Number 33 is important, okay? So look at this, 11 plus 22 is what? 33. Okay, guys? 33, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, okay? You see how nice this number is? 3-3 is also two triangles, right? What happens when you put two triangles together? You get the Star of David, which is the flag of Israel. Okay, so number 33 is a very special number for secret societies. All right, here's something that's really also really interesting about number 33. If you look at a world map, okay, the equator. If you go north, 33 degrees, you get a lot of places, okay? The first place you get is in Mesopotamia, Iraq. It's where the Tigris and Euphrates, these are two rivers. This is where they meet, okay? Why is this important? Because this meeting place is what we consider the birth of civilization. It's a cradle of civilization. Over here is Baghdad. Baghdad was the capital of the Islamic Golden Age, the Islamic Caliphate, okay? A historical city. Over here is Damascus, one of the oldest cities in the world. Over here, of course, is Jerusalem, the holiest city for both the Christians and for the Jews, okay? You keep on going over here to America, this is Dallas. Why is Dallas important? Because that's where JFK was assassinated. But you keep on going, and this is like interesting. You go to New Mexico, and you get to the Trinity test site. This is where the atomic bomb was detonated, okay? You're over here, 33 degrees in Japan. Do you know what city is 33 degrees north in Japan? Excuse me? Not Tokyo, there are two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Why are they important? Okay, these are the two places where the atomic bomb was dropped. Okay, think about that. 33 North in New Mexico is where they tested the atom bomb, and then Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 33 East North, is where they dropped the two atomic bombs. Okay? All right, so why is this important? Because if you're a secret society, what makes secret society important is the mythology, or the story that they tell about their purpose. Okay? Now, it's easy to understand here why 33 degrees is important. Okay? Because 33 degrees, you're not too hot because you're away from the equator, but you're not too cold, okay? So you can farm. And that's why all these major cities, including Baghdad, Damascus, Jerusalem, are situated 33 degrees north, okay? Also a place called Harappa, okay, which is the Indus Valley Civilization, is also 33 degrees north. So a lot of the major cities are situated in this latitude. So that makes sense, okay? This is the old world. What's the old world? The old world is obey God. Okay? That's the old world. Now we go to the new world, okay? What makes the new world different? Well, when America was founded, there was a religion called deism. And deism, the belief is that God created the universe, but then he went away. So the universe is what we make of it, okay? So now we can be, we are God. And this is the grand secret of these secret societies. They exist in order to do what God could not do, or what God can do, to replace God. So what is it that God does? Well, what the first God does is he changes matter. Second thing is he can kill other gods. And the third thing is he can create life. All right? What does changes matter mean? It means the nuclear bomb. Right? The nuclear bomb. So, what does kill the gods mean? It means you can kill President of the United States, JFK, who is considered a prince. Okay? And what is create life? It means you create artificial intelligence, which is the last step. Okay? So this is part of the mythology. The old world is being replaced by the new world. Okay? Now, if you're able to do all three things, now you're able to bring heaven to earth. Now you're able to declare yourself God. And for that, what you need is a world government. And to show that you are truly in power, what you do is you combine the old world and the new world together by making Jerusalem your world capital. Okay? So towards the end of the semester, I will show you what the grand plan is for Jerusalem. But for now, what you need to understand is that right now in Jerusalem, there's something called the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the third holiest site in the Islamic tradition. It is the place where Muhammad ascended to heaven. They plan to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque to rebuild the Temple of Solomon called the Third Temple. Okay? This will start World War III. Okay, because the Muslims will get angry at this, and they will come and invade Israel, and that's the purpose. So there's a grand plan to create the world government by initiating World War III. Okay? So we'll be discussing this later on in the semester. Now I want to discuss how secret societies are able to wield so much power. Okay? First of all, how is it that they're able to keep everyone quiet, right? How are they able to maintain their secrets? And then how are they able to exert power? Okay. All right. So the first thing to understand about secret societies is that there are different layers to secret society. Okay. So in Scottish Rite Freemasonry, there are 33 grades. 33 grades. So you start at one, and then you slowly climb, okay? Some people can skip. And at each different grade, you're taught different secrets or understanding of the world. So maybe here, 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 here. You have four grades, okay? In the bottom grade, all you're taught is just to be a good person, to do good works, to do charity, to be kind. That's all you're taught. Okay? But as you move up, you're taught something else, which is we can do God's work. Okay? God has given us a mission. We must do God's work. Okay? And up here is we don't need God. Okay? The higher you climb, the more secrets you're told. And then as you move up further, you're taught we don't need God. Okay? So, guys, I'm not part of a secret society. I'm just making this up, okay? I'm just showing you how they might work. I'm just speculating. The last layer is we can be God by killing God. Do you understand? So it's almost like school, right? In primary school, you work hard, you learn a lot. You go to high school. In high school, they teach you everything you learn in primary school is wrong. Let us teach you new knowledge. You work hard, you learn all this new knowledge. You go to university, the professors there are like, everything you learn in high school is wrong. So let's learn something new, okay? And then you go to graduate school and you're taught, everything you learn in university is wrong, okay? So that's how these secret societies work. So the word we use is compartmentalize. So it's a need to know. Okay, does that make sense? You are only taught what you need to know at your grade. Okay? And as you can see, the secrets get worse and worse as you climb. So how do you maintain secrecy in the system? Okay? So there are two major mechanisms. Okay? The first major mechanism is incentives. Incentives. The idea here is the higher you climb, the more power you have. Okay? So these people in the middle, all they care about is maintaining their privilege. Okay? So does that make sense? Incentives. Okay? The higher you climb, the more invested you are. Therefore, you want to believe the lie. Then, there's blackmail. So if you really want to climb to the top, you have to reveal your secrets too, so you can be blackmailed. Okay? And we talked about this, right? The idea of transgression. If you really want to climb to the top, you have to commit crimes with other people. So therefore, you can never betray other people. Okay? And the last thing that helps the system is confirmation bias. And the idea of confirmation bias is you just want to believe what you want to believe, okay? People don't want to believe the government lies to them. People want to believe the government tells the truth. So we like to live in a fantasy world, okay? So this is what keeps a system intact, okay? So this is how secret societies keep their secrets. Does that make sense? Okay, now the question then is, how is it that they're able to wield power? And the answer is, this structure is perfect for a bureaucracy. Before we talked about bureaucracies, right? How as society matures, it becomes more bureaucratic. Well, the problem is that bureaucracies become top heavy. Too many managers. Also the idea of silos. So each department does its own thing, okay? And as I said also, bureaucrats don't want to do any work. So imagine if you're a secret society, how much you can benefit from the system, right? Because you want to work because you want to achieve your vision. And you're able to work with other people secretly. Therefore, you're able to promote each other into positions of power. And because these departments are all siloed off, they're all independent, you're able to control the entire bureaucracy. Because you're able to coordinate, but they're not. Okay, does that make sense? So what we learn is that in history, as societies become much more mature, as they become much more bureaucratic, secret societies have much more power. And today, we are living in a heavily bureaucratic world, and therefore these secret societies have more and more power. Okay? And does that make sense? The other thing that we need to remember is that there are thousands and thousands of secret societies. Okay, so let's name some of them. The Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Mormons, the Frankists. Okay, lots and lots, okay? We'll go over each one later on this semester. What you need to remember is that at this stage in development, when society is bureaucratic, when they become parasites on the bureaucracy, they are incentivized to work together to achieve their vision, okay? But once they create the world government, then they will fight each other. But at this point in the development, they will work and actively collaborate together. Okay, so 9/11, JFK, moon landing, they were all working together. Okay? So we'll be studying this more as the semester progresses. All right, so let's conclude. Okay, let's conclude. Okay. Sorry, I'm. Okay, so let's talk about the atomic bomb. This is Harry Truman. Okay, Harry Truman is the 33rd president of the United States, number 33, right? He's also a 33rd degree Freemason, which is the highest Freemason, okay? Why is it important? Because he's the one who ordered the dropping of the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, this is controversial because at this point, America didn't have to nuke Japan. Why? Because America was firebombing Tokyo. You can see the damage, right? In Tokyo, all the houses are wooden. Guess what? If you drop fire bombs on these houses, everything burns. So America was just burning Japan to death. They didn't have to drop the nuclear bombs. Okay? You can see the devastation, okay? This is Tokyo. They burned everything down. There was talk that if America launched a land invasion of Japan, lots of people would have died. But you didn't have to invade Japan because you were just bombing Japan to ashes. So why did they drop the bomb? Well, the other argument is that they dropped the bomb to scare the Soviet Union. But that only encouraged the Soviet Union to get their own bomb, right? So you have to ask yourself, why did they do this? And if you go back to the 33-degree story, okay, which is just explained, it gives you an explanation. I'm not saying it's right, but it offers you a possibility. Okay, so as you can see, all these major cities, including Babylon, including Baghdad, Damascus, Hiroshima, are all part of 33-degree latitude, okay? Guess what, guys? A lot of famous athletes wear number 33, and they are Freemasons, okay? So this is Scottie Pippen and Shaquille O'Neal. We know they are Freemasons. Larry Bird and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar also wear number 33. Okay. 33 is important. Jesus died when he was 33 years old. The word God, Elohim, appears 33 times in Genesis. King David reigned for 33 years. The Vedic pantheon, Hinduism, has 33 deities. Human spine has 33 bones. Okay, so number 33 appears over and over. So the secret societies see number 33 as a magic number. The moon landing. Okay, I'm not saying the moon landing was faked, but there's an argument that it's impossible for humans to leave something called the Van Allen belt. Okay, the Van Allen belt is this electromagnetic field that protects us from cosmic radiation. So that the belts themselves have heavy radiation, so if you go into it, you die. But also if you leave the Van Allen belt, there's nothing to protect you from cosmic radiation, so you could die as well. So some scientists actually believe that it's impossible to leave Earth. Okay, we'll just die. I don't know how they were able to do this. And As you may know, right now, a lot of countries, America, China, are trying to get back to the moon. They're having a really hard time, okay? They're having a hard time because NASA lost all the technology, lost all the footage, lost all the data. Oops. Oh well. Okay. So, how was NASA able to keep the secret? Well, guess what? A lot of their most important people were Freemasons. Okay, this is Buzz Aldrin, one of the three astronauts. He was a Freemason, okay? John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, was a Freemason, 33-degree Mason, okay? As was James Webb, one of the first NASA administrators. James Webb, Kenneth Clegg. So these people are embedded throughout the bureaucracy. And because they're able to coordinate, they have complete control over the bureaucracy. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter who's at the top. What matters is which bureaucrats are able to work together to achieve their vision. This is Wernher von Braun. And he was one of the first NASA leaders. And he's a German. He was actually a Nazi who was brought over after World War II to help America build its space program. Okay? He had a friend or a colleague named Carol Rosen. And we don't know if this is true, okay? But what Carol Rosen tells us is that when von Braun died, he told us that America, the American government, was first and foremost concerned about spending money on space weapons, okay? And to do this, what America will do is continue to manufacture threats to justify all the spending on weaponry. Okay, and then she lists the different threats. First, they will use Russians, okay? The Russians, we have to defeat the Russians in the space race. Then they'll be like, you know what? Terrorists, okay, 9/11. Then third world countries, the crazies, like North Korea, okay? Iran. And then an asteroid. We need space weapons to protect the Earth from asteroids. And then the last thing is a fake alien invasion, okay? Aliens. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. So we'll talk about this later towards the end of the semester about a fake alien invasion. Okay, but that's part of the plan. And they've been seeding this for a long time. So I'll conclude by talking about different possibilities. You don't have to believe me. Okay. In fact, there are, I think, five different possibilities as to what happened. Okay. The footage looks fake. So how to explain this? Well, the first explanation is, it's real footage, and we should believe the government, okay? But we also need to believe that they lost all the footage, lost all the technology, lost all the data. Okay, that's possibility number one. Just believe what the government tells you. Possibility number two is, America went to the moon, but the astronauts discovered too many secrets on the moon. Like, there are space aliens on the moon. They can't tell us, so they create this fake footage, okay? That's the second possibility. Third possibility is, America went to the moon, but because of the lighting, because of the difficulty of filming, they couldn't actually take any footage. So they made it up to please the American people, okay? The fourth possibility is America went to the moon, but NASA decided to create this fake footage to fool the Soviets, right? Because if it's real footage, the Soviets might be able to copy the technology, so we should just fake this thing and make fun of the Soviets, okay? Let's fool the Soviets. So the Soviets could not reverse engineer the success. Okay, that's also a possibility. Right? And the last possibility, of course, is America didn't go to the moon. And it's entirely your choice which possibility to believe. Okay? I'm just proposing different possibilities out there. So how can we know the truth? Well, we can use game theory to logically deduce what happened. Okay? So let's use game theory. All right. So we know that NASA's Apollo program cost $26 billion. Between 1960 and 1973. That's almost $200 billion today. They spend all this money, they need to produce a result, right? This is almost like 4% of all government spending in America. That's a lot of money. Also, you don't know this, but by 1969, America was falling apart for three reasons. First of all, America was fighting this pointless and hopeless war called Vietnam. Tens of thousands of Americans were dying for no reason. Hundreds of thousands of young Americans were protesting in the streets. America, the American dream seemed to be dying, okay? That's the first problem. Second problem is that the Soviets were destroying the Americans in the space race. The Soviets were the first to send an animal to space, the first to send a man to space, the first to orbit the Earth, the first to walk in space, the first to send a lunar module to the moon. So it seemed as though communism was superior to capitalism. It seemed as though the Soviet system was better than the American system, okay? There's a real fear that the Soviets would get to the moon first, okay? And also, the last thing is, remember, in 1963, JFK was killed. JFK was the prince, the king. So that put Americans in a very bad mood. But then later on, other prominent Americans, like Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, they were all killed as well. So 1969, America was divided. It was falling apart. People felt hopeless, right? So what this means is that if America sent a mission to the moon and all the astronauts died or they didn't get there, America would have been broken, okay? People would have been depressed. And so according to game theory, America could not afford to take the risk of sending people to the moon. If they died, if it failed, America would have looked like idiots. Okay? But of course, there's always a counter-argument. And the counter-argument is, okay, this makes sense, but why did the Soviets call out the Americans and said, you guys faked this? Right? What? The America and so the Soviet Union were in competition with each other. Everyone believed America went to the moon, but there's a lot of evidence to suggest that America didn't go to the moon. So why didn't the Soviets tell the world? Okay? That I can't answer for you. All right? So I just leave you with this thought. Okay? But what I believe is, within the next 2 years, the truth will slowly start to come out. And you will see for yourself what really happened. So this class is not meant to tell you what happened. This class is just meant to give you different possibilities and give you tools to understand or figure out for yourself what might have happened, okay? All right? So any questions before we conclude?
As we said, the secret society might have a my fighting with the governments, but why don't they send their part of their people into the governments? Why don't they like work together?
No, they are the government.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, right, because secret societies cannot exist outside of bureaucracies, mm-hmm. Right? They have power because they're able to coordinate within the bureaucracy in a way that other organizations cannot, right? Mm-hmm. So only when the bureaucracy has reached a certain maturity, a certain size, can secret societies have true power, okay? So secret societies are the ones who control the government, basically. Yeah, any other questions? Okay, great guys, so we'll continue this next class, next week, okay? All right.